Here comes Chazare, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazare flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazare goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
We are live here at Fashion Furniture on a beautiful Thursday. It's cold in the morning. It's beautiful the rest of the day. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J, Matt Johnson here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, River Park, the greatest furniture store on the planet. They got it all. Anything you need in your house, from little things to big things, Matt, it's here.
Well, and what's really good is they continue to keep the showroom in immaculate condition, pristine look, and they roll out. So they always have these little closeout sales where they're going to redesign. I went past the recliner section and I saw the big screen TV and wanted to check in on some scores real quick. But I noticed they made some rearrangements. I love that. They keep things fresh around here, and it's just a fabulous look.
Really is. You need some recliners. You do. If you need the anything, the tables and chairs, we're right here in the great studios of 940 ESPN here at Fashion Furniture. So many tables and chairs, Matt, you almost get confused.
My wife doesn't, because there's – I get confused because I don't really know what I'm looking for in the dining room table arrangement. My wife does. She's got the latest thing. Apparently, our kitchen nook stuff is going to my daughter in college, so we're on the hunt for something different now.
Yeah. Well, my idea with Lori at home is this: I sit back and watch her work because I have no say.
And I'm glad you do, because your house is clean. The design is beautiful. If they left it up to guys like you and I, we'd have an award. We would have a bookshelf full of, you know, stuff we got in Little League and everything else. It would just be a disaster.
So true. So
I don't
true.
Have a place, really. Like, at least you have a little spot with
where?
Your St. Louis Cardinal trophies and all your stuff. Oh, I don't have a spot.
You haven't been there a while.
My wife did let me put my old USC football helmet in our little movie area room. But I don't really have a spot. She doesn't think that works with the decor of the house.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I do have an autographed. I got a couple good things, but yeah. I've got an autographed Joe Montana thing going on, but I don't have a lot.
Yeah, I got nothing at home.
My whole house would be just a man cave if it was just you and I. Let's say things were different. You and I lived together. Let's say you and I were lovers. We lived together in that domain. But we're both sports fanatics. Our whole house, there'd be no female touch to our house. It would just be a man cave.
It'd be a disaster. No question. Thanks for bringing that up. It's the Rye Show on Thursday.
You got your bulldog pullover on.
Go Dawgs.
Got the red polo shirt underneath the pullover. You're sporting a pretty good look right now.
You got the Madera South working today.
Well, I've got, you know, the morning workout look going, which I have a lot, actually, because of our first, second, third period, zero period workouts. Coach Anthony Gallegos runs that operation as good as anyone in the business. Very proud to come into work. I enjoy it.
And you guys are starting to build a football culture out there. It's been
a while.
Well,
we are. It's like anyone. It's not about me or where I'm at. It's about everybody out in the valley. If you're consistent and you just keep working it, you don't throw things at student athletes, you try to maintain your cool and be good leaders of these young men and women, good things are going to start to happen.
We're going to talk about that today. How far and can a coach go with players? We'll talk about that. We're going to talk with Jim Critchlow at 12.
Yes, we are.
A little bit at 12:30 or so. We got baseball and softball. We're going to have regional state playoffs starting in 2021. So finally,
it's about
the
time.
Final two sports left that can go for a state run. It's not going to be all North versus South at the end, just a regional at the beginning. So,
right.
But it's still a start.
That's right?
Right. And we'll talk to Jim Critchlow.
Yep, you've got soccer coming to a close here. Great soccer match is going on, by the way, the CMAC Conference, the County Metro Athletic Conference. For the first time in a long time that I ever remember, on my campus, Madera South plays Edison tonight for the rights to win the CMAC Championship. But if they lose, then Madera's playing Sanger for the rights to be a CMAC champion. There's There's three teams, Sanger, Madera High, Madera South, that are still vying for the title, and it's all happening tonight.
Today.
Yeah.
And I would love about soccer, we mentioned it, D6 can easily beat anyone in D1 anymore. We're in a soccer society. Might as well get ready.
Yep.
It is what it is. But before we do all that, we had a little game on Sunday called the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 54, the Chiefs come back, beat the Niners.
Yeah.
Give me your – because we're only on here once a week. We didn't get a chance to talk, but I want to hear your view of the Super Bowl. First of all, before you go,
yes,
100 million people watched the Super Bowl.
It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal.
100 million people.
Sounds a little low in my book. It should
really?
Be 150 to 200 million. And anybody who's not involved in that. I was at a party, Super Bowl party. Sometimes we do that. Haven't done that in a while, actually. But my wife took me over to her co-worker's house, had a great time, great hospitality. Was a little different for me. The experience was a little different because they had TVs everywhere, one outside, one off the kitchen where a lot of the women were hanging out. And then there was the main great room, if you will, where the big screen TV was up. But the TV off the kitchen and the TV in the great room, they were off sequence, meaning, you know, you'd hear from one room energy, excitement, and screaming and hollering, but our TV was waiting for the play to happen. And when you were behind the timing,
it's not good.
Which I was in the beginning, where this is a big third down right here, and all of a sudden you hear them scream from the kitchen, you already get the answer before the play develops. That was a little bit disturbing. But overall, the Super Bowl was a great game. The deserving team won. The team that wasn't quite seasoned, I don't believe. You know, Andy Reid is a seasoned coach. It had been fighting for this thing for a while. I think Coach Shanahan of the 49ers overall did a decent job, but he got out-coached. I think there was a few pivotal calls that some will believe would cost the game. I think the pass interference call on the offensive pass interference on Kittle, the tight end for the 49ers, was an absolute shame. A sham, an absolute injustice. But then again, had Coach Shanahan decided he wanted to go for it before the half was out, maybe they wouldn't have been in that position for that kind of call. There was a few things that happened. But overall, the halftime show was just as usual. I didn't really get much of it. I was happy to see the ladies do their performance. That was a lot of fun. Short of that, it was what I thought it would be, a close game, and it worked out.
Well, let's go to your two TV set. If your TVs aren't set together, that's like serving cold chicken wings. It's not going to work to me. You can't go, oh, well, what happened? Well, watch it over here. You can see the, oh, I see, he dropped the ball. That's horrible. So
but
if you're going to throw a party, have the TVs working
well,
together.
Well, the good thing was the people that at the party, that really, they were football fans. But they weren't into it like the fellas I had in my room. So we got the great host. Thank you so much if you're listening. Great job. But he decided to set our TV up to where we got the live action, what we thought was live action, and they got the tape delay. Because in the beginning, I couldn't handle the screaming and hollering and knowing that this is the pivotal. They didn't get the first down before the play even developed. I couldn't live with that.
No.
So I got him to come in and delay their TV so we were ahead of the game because that party that was going in off the kitchen, by the time kickoff was around, you know, the drinks were going. They were oblivious to really being in the game. It was a social hour or two or three over there. But the real football action was going on in the room I was at, so they did set the TVs up to benefit us.
Well, let's start at the beginning of the game. Pack meter won the coin flip. I bet on my little bets. It was tails, won. I was happy the rest of the game.
I did win the prop bet, for my party that I was at on the 49ers win the toss. And they kicked off. Or did they win? I don't know if they won, but the 49ers did kick off.
Well, it was tails. That's all I cared about.
Yeah.
So let's start with the 100-year anniversary commercial at the beginning. Chills. That was one of the greatest commercials where the kid ran down the street and all that, and they stopped for the Thielman. You didn't see it,
apparently. I didn't see it.
Oh, it's the greatest commercial.
I saw it. I didn't hear it. I didn't get all the
greatest commercial of all time, and then he had the kids, everyone with different uniforms, running in the middle of the field.
Yeah, you're talking about the Mean Joe Green.
Jim Brown.
I saw it.
Yeah. Take it to the house. I love that. It was a great commercial.
It was a great
one. So it started out fantastic. The tribute to Tillman, that was awesome. You're right. I'm going to say it. I think Kyle got out-coached. He was nervous. He had three timeouts, two-minute warning and all that, and he said, I don't know. And then the pass interference, horrendous call. Absolutely horrendous. They let him play the whole game.
Yeah.
You're going to call him on that? That changed everything because that went from at least a 3-point to at the end of the game. It's like baseball. I'm down by 2 runs or you're down by 1 run. It changes everything. Going for 4 points instead of a 3.
No,
you know,
question.
Few,
no
so
question.
That was big difference.
The thing is, though, they reviewed that play, right? He threw the flag and he wanted to – Coach Shanahan threw a flag and wanted a review of that. When you watch – I don't understand. It's already controversial enough to try to get those kind of plays right without any kind of replay. The pass interference, whether it's typically the defensive player, but any kind of version of pass interference, it happens so quick it's hard to tell. But now you have replay. Shouldn't there be a rule that if any kind of contact or touching is involved, but it does not help assist you to get a leg up on your competition? Kittle had him beat. The guy was beat. Whatever contact was there did not help assist Kittle to get ahead of the play. So that you just have to eat your flag on that. And I was shocked that they didn't say after further review type deal, there's nothing there, first down, 49ers, because there was no game. Kittle's hand fighting with the defender as the defender's fighting with him, it did not give him any kind of advantage. Should have eaten the flag.
I really think the referees were never happy.
And I'm an old defensive back, so.
I really think the officials were never happy that they got the instant replay for pass interference. So I think every time they have a chance, they go, oh, I didn't see anything.
We called it right. I truly believe that is the case, yes.
If you notice it,
if you're going to challenge
rarely,
me,
yeah.
If it's remotely close to what I said I thought I saw, go that way. Why don't you step up and say, you know, in the big picture, it was not germane to the play being made or not made. We're going to eat the flag.
Jermaine Jackson pulling out of it.
But you know what? Having said that, and I'm a 49er fan, I happen to like the Chiefs too. I told you that last week. But it still wouldn't have mattered. The Chiefs were going to do what they had to do. Patrick Mahomes is going to finally turn it on and do it. He can't hold him back for too long. And let's be honest, your lover boy Garoppolo did not show up.
Jimmy G outperformed Mahomes
for
3 quarters.
Yeah.
He made one bad throw. He hits that throw on 3rd and 5. The 49ers of the world, I'm not even a 49er fan, okay? But they outperformed, and I think the Niners said, we got a 10-point lead, 6 minutes to go, we are going to win this thing, and they took the foot off the pedal.
True. I agree with both of those assessments, but the one that killed me was this. If you're going to be the man, if you're going to put yourself in that elite category of great ones, which Jimmy G might one day be that guy, some of us would argue that, but let's say that's where he's going to be. You've got your wide receiver breaking free right down on a post. Beautiful move. He's got room to score. You got to drop that ball in somewhere in the immediate vicinity. He overthrew that. That's the sign of a quarterback who just isn't ready to arrive yet. Period. You know that, and don't defend it because you're a quarterback. If you have the shot on the last drive potentially for the Super Bowl, that famous Joe Montana Super Bowl win over Cincinnati, looking in the huddle and saying, guys, look at that's John Candy over there. With that cool, calm, collected nature, which Jimmy G apparently doesn't have, when that ball is thrown on the breakaway post, the receiver cleared the safety. It's got to be somewhere in the vicinity. He chucked it, ducked it, and threw it downfield. There was no chance for a catch. That, to me, said Jimmy G's not ready.
Joe Montana.
He's not ready to be at that level yet.
Joe Montana, Steve Young, Terry Bradshaw. You can go on and on and on. They did not get their team. They did not get their team to the Super Bowl the first year. You got to remember, this is the first year.
You can't.
This is the first year he started, and if you had to do it over again, if they had to do it over, and you said, Jimmy G, you could lead us to a Super Bowl after we sign you, after your knee surgery, we would be so happy. There's no way it's going to happen, but if you can get us to the Super Bowl, we will be happy. He got him to the Super Bowl.
I'm happy.
The kid's fine. He outplayed Mahomes for 3 quarters.
I'm not throwing him under the bus.
I think you are. I think that's what you're doing.
He's not ready. And don't even use Patrick Mahomes in the same sentence. Patrick Mahomes could be the greatest ever.
How in the world is Patrick?
Jimmy G's going to be lucky to have a job in 2 years. He might be playing on Saturday in this new XFL thing we got going on, by the way, this Saturday. That's where he goes.
How in the world is Mahomes the MVP of the Super Bowl?
It was a tough call.
There's zero
chance.
They had nothing.
They didn't have a lot.
Yeah, let's give it to him after throwing 2 interceptions, and he looked horrible for 3 quarters. But let's give it to him. He did not deserve it. And all of a sudden, he's, you know, the Jehovah now. Well, he's our guy. He's the best of all time. Colin Coward is all I want to listen to.
I don't know all of that. I do know this. Did he or did he not run a perfectly twice, executed option attack off the edge. One he scored on by making a move. I don't know, that's pretty good in my book.
I like the dance move on three running backs, and
then
he spun around.
Then he pitched it the other time, perfectly on rhythm.
I think
what are you talking about?
He is the MVP.
Hey, jeez, he had a great game.
I'm not a 49er fan, and I've never liked the 49ers, but I think the next 2-3 years they got a shot to be in the Super Bowl again.
They're good.
So Niner fans, you'll be there well before the Raiders. Sorry, Raider fans, but you guys are a long way to go.
They are going to have to get rid of the most overrated cornerback maybe in the history of the league, Richard Sherman. They'll have to move that.
Why didn't they go after him more? Man-to-man coverage most of the time out there.
Forget the fact that why'd they go after him more. Once again, they got out-coached. The defensive coordinator for the 49ers got out-coached. They're a zone team. You got to put him on an island with somebody, get ready, get what's going to come to you.
A guy who runs a
4-2-40. He's in his cover three, his thirds look. He's keeping things in front of him. He's got great reactionary skills. He's a very smart. Yeah. He's a Stanford graduate, for crying out loud. The guy's a smart, intelligent football player. But he is not a bastion of gifted athletic talent. Not anymore. Not that he ever was super fast. But you're going to put him on an island in man-to-man. Bravo to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid for finding that mismatch.
Well, they finally hit it. The whole game I kept thinking, Hill runs a 4-2-40. They're going to go after it soon. They finally did.
We knew going in, and they didn't disappoint. The 49ers up front on defense, ridiculously good.
And only going to get better.
Yes. What they've got going up front, not just Bosa, who, by the way, cannot be blocked. They're really good. And we knew that Patrick Mahomes would struggle with trying to set his feet. But how about this concept? And I argued, not argued, we discussed it on the couch during the game with several of the people at the party. Is this a design? Are they letting Patrick Mahomes get out of the pocket? Is that by design? Because that's a guy in my book, I don't want him feeling comfortable running on the edges. And they did that too. So if there was a negative to the 49er defense, is that they lost leverage repeatedly to Patrick Mahomes, although it might have been part of the picture. Maybe they didn't want him to feel and wanted him to flush out of the pocket, but I didn't like that.
But it was a great game.
Great game.
Halftime, your thoughts? Because everyone wants to talk about halftime. I get, because I come from a dancing family, it was all right, but you really want to show kids a stripper pole? That's what I get from the side.
I didn't think it was a stripper pole, and I don't call it a stripper pole. I thought it was very enthusiastically done. I am not a halftime guy. For the men or women out there that get all excited, that's not me. I haven't seen one in the history of Super Bowls, and I'm up there now. I've seen a lot. I haven't seen one halftime show that remotely galvanized and kept me away from the chips and dip. I am not into the halftime show. It is not something I look forward to. I credit anyone who likes to enjoy a halftime show and see Shakira or see J-Lo do her thing, which two of my favorites, though, by the way, but I wasn't into it. To me, halftime is my break time. Time to go outside, go enjoy the evening or the early evening, have some more snacks, make another – we had great tacos. We had street tacos going off the charts. Go make myself a taco. Go catch up on some friends, talk a little bit, and then settle in when it's about time to come back and visit Troy Aikman.
I would guess half the country was waiting for the halftime show. The other half didn't.
Well, that's why the numbers are so big.
Yeah.
Halftime show obviously is a big deal. I was shocked that the anthem, I lost that bet. I think it's almost as if who was the singer that did? Demi Lovato, excuse me. I think Demi picked up on Twitter or something that she was being bet on, so it could go under or over, and she was offended by that. Because if you told me I'm going to go over, because I do talk a lot, no doubt about it, I'm a little offended, so I'm going to kind of be brief and short. I think she was giving the heads up. Maybe put a bunch of money down on herself with some other bettors because she didn't really carry the note like I thought she would.
I
lost that prop bet.
1 minute, 50 seconds.
It was like 150 on the clock that we had going, 156, 158.
No, 150 was the official clock, 150 and a half seconds.
There you go.
I took the over.
I took the over,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. Gianna, my daughter, she came up and said, Dad, she sings, her notes are quick. So, but she did the last brave, went on for 7 seconds.
I was at an NBA All-Star game with Sean Salisbury back in the day, in the 80s, at the L.A. Forum, home of the Lakers, and Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem. And if you would have put a bet on it back then, the over-under was 5 minutes. It was, oh, say. Can you see? By the dawn.
Okay, we get the idea.
It was five plus minutes, the greatest anthem ever sung, ever produced, written for a special event in the history of athletics. Demi was nowhere close.
I think she was a little nervous. She did it quick, wanted to get out of there. That's what I said, but Gianna called it. Dad, you should have bet the under. Thanks. Thanks for telling me now. Those are my bet. I didn't bet the game. I would have bet the 49ers. I would have lost. But I said it's going to be tails and take the over in the national anthem.
There you go.
So I broke even. Actually
that's
lost.
That's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
It's come, it's gone, and now the best football you're ever going to see starts out this Saturday, the XFL. Any thoughts?
I'm not ready for the XFL.
Here's the deal that I think is the most unique to the whole thing. One, you have available at your offense, you have a 9-point play. It's the 9-point play thing that I'm really excited about, see how the coaches handle it. You score a regular touchdown at 6 points. There is no kicking of extra points. You can kick field goals for three. But you score a touchdown, you line it up at the two, and you get 1 point if you get in from the two. If you line it up at the five, you get a point at the two. You get at 5-yard line, you get 2 points. At the 10-yard line, they reward you 3 points if you get it in from the two. That's pretty good. I'm waiting to see how many teams actually go for the 3-point play.
Not only do you got to be a good coach, you got to be a mathologist.
And I'm excited to hear the technology involved, which is simply there are microphones that are connected so we at home can hear the play call. We could hear the interaction of the quarterback at the line of scrimmage, and they don't cut it off like in the NFL, 15 seconds on the play clock. There is no communication. So the offensive coordinator or head coach can be talking to his quarterback all the way through the play. That will be fun to hear some zingers if they're letting us hear it. No, to the left. He's open. I want to hear what the quarterback and the coach have to say in their headpiece. That's a unique strategy.
And I think the fans are going to like that.
Well, there's no cheerleaders. There's no song girls. There's no pomp and circumstance. With a Vince McMahon event, you would think there'd be cheerleaders everywhere and all that kind of stuff going on. I like that idea. Let's watch some football. Let's not get involved in what's happening in the extracurriculars. I'm sure Lori would love that. Let's fire all the cheerleaders.
Hey, I'm going to give a little love out to our local member. You know Lance Shublett.
Oh, yeah, Lance Well.
Yeah.
What a golfer. What's going on?
We're going to try to get his son-in-law on. His son-in-law is DeForest Buckner, number 99 for the 49ers. So, married his daughter. So, we're going to try to get him on.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
Lance is a heck of an athlete.
Yeah.
And now with DeForest Buckner and his family.
Yeah.
Hello.
6'7", 300
pounds. That's a
pretty
good Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. And they're Lance expecting their grandbaby. So, good luck with that, everybody out there. So that's
Lance is one of those guys, those baseball guys. You're one of them. You know, you don't play golf like he does. But Lance is one of those guys that special baseball player, but they segue into the world of golf just seamlessly with a beautiful golf swing. I've got a chance to be in his group a few times in my career, and he can swing a golf club.
Very smooth.
Very smooth.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, let's catch up. We're going to take a break. This is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk with Jim Critchlow coming up, the CIF commissioner, until June the 30th. Then he's going to retire. We're still going to have Jim on a lot because he loves our show, and we love Jim. He's been done great job for our CIF section.
Yes.
We're going to talk about coaching. What is the over and under? Handling kids. How far is too far? We're going to talk about that. And also, I want to ask Matt after in the 1 o'clock hour, can you play JVs and varsity on the same day? And there's one team that's been doing that, and we're going to talk about that as well because I think that's illegal. Last time I checked, you can't play JV and then strap it up and go play varsity that evening.
I haven't heard this yet. I'll be interested to hear what you're talking
about.
That's
what we do. That's what we bring good stories to the Rice Show. Let's take a break. Jim Critchlow coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rice Show.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. I feel like we're underwater. We're scuba diving right there.
Some good aquatics music.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's the Pag Meter, Matty J here at The Rice Show. Fashion Furniture on a Thursday, beautiful Thursday, baseball, softball weather.
It is, and it's beautiful here at Fashion Furniture, but there's just a little, can I give you, we've been doing this a while, can I give you a little advice?
Just give me some.
Yeah, I'll give you something, okay?
Yeah.
when the lead intro music comes, you don't need to jump right in. You have no patience. It's just like everything you do in real life, the bag meter. No patience. Everything's got to be microwave oven, quick for you. Just let the music
saute a little bit.
Yeah, before you jump right in. Hello, because half the people, I've been on the road coming to see you, and you're talking over the music. I don't even know what you said. So I don't know if you want to get better at radio, if you just want to stay in this hole you've been in for all these years. But get with the program, all right? Go ahead.
I will do that if you promise never to sing on our show again.
Turn out the lights. Well, that was my beatbox. I did sing a few lines from Marvin Gaye, National Anthem.
Yeah, please don't ever. Well, a lot of emails are coming in saying, please don't ever sing again. Well, I can't promise you anything.
A lot of emails to you might be one, okay? So I'm not going to put too much stock in it.
Well, let's go now to Mr. Commissioner himself. And I want to know, when he growing up, we're talking, of course, Jim Crichlow. Jim, when you got in trouble and you were little, was it, James, get over here? Or, Jimmy, food's ready. Come on and get your cereal. Was it James or Jimmy or always Jim?
It was James plus my middle name. Then I knew I was in big trouble.
And what was the discipline back in the day for when you messed up?
Usually a switch across the hamstrings, a branch off a tree, small whip, branch like that, a slot.
And you got that weekly, because I could see you being in deep trouble all the time.
Yeah, it was probably at least every other day.
Jim Crichlow, welcome. I just had to get that out because I always wonder about, is it Jimmy? Hey, Jimmy. All the girls probably called you Jimmy, but it was your mom, James. What's your middle name?
That will be unknown for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah, why don't we – can we ask for your Social Security number, too, Jim? We're getting really close.
Yeah, right, sure.
We're getting too close.
All right, well, let's go to sports because that's what you're good with. Let's start with basketball. We got February the 28th, and we got an extra day this year in February. February 29th at Selden Arena, correct? And are we ready? Are we getting this show ready? Are they sweeping out Selden Arena? Because Matt always starts to sneeze about the first game with all the dust in there.
I presume they're getting things ready. I'm not sure what's going on as far as if the facility's being used the next weekend or two, but I know the guys from Fresno County of Austin, Jim Uvino and Brent Smither and everybody is getting things cranking on their end.
Well, the big news is, other than that, that's coming up, but Pagmeter fills me in a few days ago that it looks like the baseball state championships are going to be something coming here in the future.
Regional.
Correct. We our section, actually, I wrote the proposal 2 years ago. It's taken that long to get it through. But this last month in Long Beach, it was voted in to have regional tournaments starting in 2021 school year. So next school year, the tournaments will be played in North and the South on the week following Memorial Weekend. So Tuesday, then the semis on Thursday and the finals on Saturday for both baseball and softball. From there, after a year or two, they will possibly evolve into a state finals format.
And qualifications for that are just by a committee, or do you have to win your section championship? How does it work?
It'll be section champions only that get to advance. We'll have three that will go to the north and three to the south, as we do in all other sports, but our section champions will move forward.
Talking with Jim Crichlow, the CIF commissioner, until what, June 30th? Is that the final date?
Correct. Yes, that's the last day of my contract.
Well, you're never going to leave. We're going to get you on all the time because you're the expert. Talking about baseball, and a lot of people are saying, I think you mentioned last night, that some of our sections might go north, some of our sections might go south. We're going to be split again, 3-3 probably.
Yeah, that's correct. It could be 4-2 depending on how many are from the north portion of the section and the south portion. But for all intent and purposes, it'll be 3-3.
And, of course, since Jim Crichlow started this, Matt, the big champion, the regional champions, got to be played right here, somewhere in the Clovis area with our beautiful facilities. Come on now. So if you're listening up north and down south, it's got to be here.
Well, right, like I said last night, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll get a couple of them here, yes.
See, Jim, that's what you have to listen to the Pag Meter closely, because that wasn't really phrased as a question. So he was basically giving you guesswork. He made a statement, and then you were left with, what do you want me to respond to that or what? That's how he does it. Now, as you segue into the end of this basketball season, and then it leads you into the spring sports, what's the biggest, because you've talked to us before about the world of track and field. It's really a lot of that hasn't much to do from your office. So you really get back into baseball? Is that where you're most occupied, baseball, softball, or do you get much involved in track and field?
Basically baseball, softball. Do work a little bit on track and field. I used to be a track coach, and so I still follow that an awful lot. But our section people do such a great job running the events. There's little really for us to do out of our office here other than just attend and watch the events go on.
Yeah, I see you at all those events. I just always wondered, is that something where committee, you sit down and you start laying out, like for instance in football, you lay out, here's some new things we're going to be talking about, there's some new rules. But in track and field, it's pretty much on a, I don't want to say cruise control, but that's an area that really nothing much has changed in all these years I've been involved. Yeah.
Well, I would guess.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
We're talking with Jim Critchell. I would guess when he's at the track at the championship, and you got the guys with the red jackets and the white pants, and somebody spilled mustard on the white pants, he's going, clean it up, Jim Critchlow's here. You can't walk around with mustard on your left ankle. Because it happens.
Well, having said, don't think so.
Yes. Having said that, I'm sure you've probably heard this from Mr. Papagni on this type of thing before, but it drives us nuts. It drives him more nuts than most of us, but he does make a very good point. You work your whole young career as a track athlete. Maybe you're from Southern California, beyond South, Chula Vista, California, south of San Diego, and you work and you work, and let's say you're a 100-meter specialist, and you win your section championship down in San Diego, and you continue to prepare to come up to Buchanan and Veterans Stadium, and you're going to run in the state meet, and you get in the preliminaries on Friday night, and you twitched in your starting blocks, and the guy in the red jacket comes to you with that look of disgust, and he hands you the card, and you have to walk, pack up all your things, and tell your parents that forget the hotel room, we have to head home. Has there ever been any discussion in the world of the CIF about, can we give this once against the field and give a chance for a kid to continue to try to fulfill his dream?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Immediate answer to your question, no. We would have to take that from our track advisory here at the state back to the National Fed, because it's a National Fed rule, and of course the National Fed tries to keep in touch with and stay with the NC2A and the Olympic Committee. But when I was competing back in the days right after fire was invented, you got one false start, and so that became an issue because, okay, I false start the first time, and then you false start, and anybody who goes, if I go with you, I'm out. And so they've got it down to the point now where it's just one. And I would like to see it go back, quite honestly, to give one guy an opportunity, as you said, to come all that way. And somebody, if one or two of you go, you all get DQ'd. Though that's not quite right.
Well, I have some pictures in my archive. I help assist with track. I have always. My son ran track. I'm a track guy. I have pictures in my archives of legitimate. That wasn't just a story. There was a young man from San Diego, and the look on his face, this young student athlete, when he made the glitch. And it might be he heard something from the crowd. It might be the wind was blowing hard. One year, the wind was really whistling, and a guy was moving in his blocks, and they gave him the false start. But that look on his face is he has to take that walk of shame from the starting blocks off that big, giant track on the way out. I just can't imagine if we're talking about high school kids and this value and character and everything we're trying to teach them, I just can't see the value in sending someone who worked so hard to get to that pinnacle of his career in the state track meet to send him home without an opportunity. To me, that's just, it's punishment beyond repair. I really believe that.
And I concur.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. I remember that one. He made his grandma leave.
Oh, it was bad.
Got him in the car and said, you got to leave. Get out! And I remember that one. It was ugly. It was an ugly experience. But the basketball coming up, tell everyone how it's going to happen on the open division. Because do you have a committee that's going to pick the four, or is it just taking the top-ranked four teams that are going to go?
We'll take the top. The committee will be my assistant, Jeff, of course, and then three guys. We'll pick the top four teams that we feel are the best. Then we will send those out to the coaches to rank them one through four. Then the little change in the schedule from what I told you earlier, Nick, at the request of some of the coaches, if we'd have gone that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday scenario that we had, they'd have had almost 10 days off. So we're going to play the opening round games on Saturday, the 22nd, and then come back on Thursday, the 27th, play the third, fourth place game. And then on the 29th at Sullivan Arena, we'll play the championship game.
So on that that Saturday, the 22nd, is it going to be in one gym, like, let's say, Clovis North for two games for boys?
It could be. Well, it'll be the highest seed. So if let's just say Clovis North is one or two and Clovis West is two or one, they will host the other games. So it could be, if you throw in the girls in the same mix, there could be a doubleheader in both gyms. Clovis West boys and girls could be hosting, or Clovis North could be hosting a doubleheader. So we'll just have to see how that goes when we get there. But the highest seeds will host, yes.
That was going to be fantastic. It's instant sellout crowd if it is like what you're talking about. That's great news. And, of course, Sullivan Arena is going to be off the charts again. It looks like basketball is really starting to heat up. And I always invite all old Red Wave fans, if you want to see what it used to be like back in the day at Sullivan Arena, Boyd Grant, Jerry Tarkanian, well, you got to be on February 28th and 29th. Because, Jim, there's nothing like Sullivan Arena for the championships.
No, it's unmatchable. The whole atmosphere, the crowd is, as you well know, the crowd is on top of things. They're not spread out like a giant bowl. It goes more erect so people can have great seats. The noise reverberates right back down on the kids. FC, the County Office of Ed, does a tremendous job presenting it as a class event. And we've heard comments from people who played on in the NC2A level and have seen those, that this far is better than anything they've ever seen.
Even the first game on a Friday morning, it seems, and there's not a lot of people there, but it's still loud. And the kids think it's a big deal. I love that. So it's going to be exciting again. We're talking with Jim Critchlow. And, of course, baseball this year, write the late dates down, May 22nd, May 23rd at Fresno State. The boys, the baseball will be at Fresno State Baseball, softball at Bulldog Diamond. It's going to be a great weekend. Let's don't get any rain like last year. Was that amazing how much rain we got last year?
That was unbelievable. Yeah, we've talked about it here in the office. We don't know what we're going to do if that happens, but hopefully it won't happen.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, and all that water goes right to that ocean. That's what happens around here. But anything new, Jim, we need to know with transferring, any new things going on that we need to know about down there in the CIF office?
No, there was one thing you did share with me last night, though. The section website is not current as far as baseball, softball divisions are concerned, because we're right now in the process of accepting appeals for division placement. Schools who were voted into the divisions that you presented last night, that we presented to the board for voting, are in the process of appealing all spring sports, and those appeals are due February 19th here in the office. So the 20th and 21st, the divisions for baseball, softball, et cetera, will be updated on the website.
Oh, you're on your game, Jimbo. Well, thank you so much. And just keep up the great work. We will see you out at Sullivan Arena. Matt and I can't wait to be out there.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Last question for me is, your wing okay? Is your shoulder all healed up and rehabbed and feeling good?
Yep, absolutely. It's better than it's ever been. Thank you.
He's okay, a two handicap.
Yeah, because Nick and I have a celebrity softball match we'd like for you to pitch. It's overhand. Yeah. We want you to be our pitcher.
We need him in a scramble.
We need him in a scramble, definitely.
Egg.
Yeah,
we need a ringer. Jimbo, thank you so much. Jim Critchlow, our CIF commissioner.
Welcome, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
What I love about Jim,
yep,
he doesn't dodge any tough questions. He goes right after it.
He is a straight shooter, and if he tells you that he sees that the color looks green, it's green. If it tells you it's blue, it's good. If it's a go light, he'll give you the go light. If not, he'll tell you the reasons why and what you have. I really appreciate, and it's kind of funny, too, because coming from you, who's a real Jim Critchlow fan, used to be the most comedic, funny guy when it came down to the offices in Porterville with how we, as the central section, were seemingly always, no pun intended, but the redheaded stepchild to the rest of the sections because we were the little player in the middle of the state. But you found out that obviously he's the one who put forth the bill, if you will, in front of the House of CIF directors that this is what we need to do as far as playoffs for baseball. These are the things that we're looking for. And it took a while, 2 years, but Jim Critchlow, our director of our central section, spearheaded that. Bravo. So I guess through all those years in the early days before you got a chance to meet Jim, you found out that he's a go-getter. He's
that,
a guy that can get it done.
That and also our great teams who are now representing our section against the rest of the state. For years, we didn't do well.
Well, that's a,
let's throw it out there.
Good point.
We didn't do anything. And so Jim would go to those meetings, and we'd say, Jim, just go sit in the corner because you guys are bringing nothing to the table. It's a north versus a south, and we're going to drive right by. In fact, Jim, help us out. What's a good stop between L.A. and San Francisco to maybe gas up? Okay, Jim, think about that and get back. Now we're having teams winning the state all over the place.
And you know what makes our office, specifically Jim Critchlow and Jeff Cardoza for that matter, and then the new incoming director, that it probably gives them great pride to puff their chest out at these state meetings that, I don't know, but we've kind of won a few things now. We've won girls basketball. We've won off the track and field. We've won some football titles now. There's other sports, soccer, wrestling, as we all know. We own the whole state. I think he can sit well when he finally hangs it up in June that he was on watch while the power of our central section came to full fruition.
Remember a few years ago, they also said, Jim, you're never going to win in girls volleyball this state. There's no way. What? What happened? Buchanan's playing central for the state championship in girls volleyball. You know, look at that. Well, you're never going to win the open division in girls basketball. That's never get what? Clovis West is what? They're number one in the country. They won the whole state. So we are now on the map.
And Trump will never be elected president. What? What happened? He won the election. Yeah.
Same idea. Did I call that one?
You called it.
Yeah. I mean, so that's just how we roll here. Yeah, again, let's talk about this Rice Show before we go. You're going to laugh a lot. You might hate us a lot. You might love us a lot, but you're going to listen because
we're going to listen.
This is a show, and people say, how long have you guys been doing this? This is a great show. We bring the information in. This is what you and I do.
Well, we
a lot
do
of people
get
steal
from local,
our stuff.
Specifically local. The national stories are pretty easy. Everyone gets
Super
national.
Super Bowl.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. The story, Mookie Betts may go to the Dodgers. Wait, there's some injuries involved. Might not happen. What's going on? Yeah. Anybody can get those stories. Yeah. But we get the stories where we get the call or you get the call or I get the call as one of the stories in the middle of the night. Like, are you aware that this high school is involved in it? Or are you aware? We get the inside scoop. Sometimes we have to shelve it to protect the innocent. But once it starts to come to light, whether it's the butt drag incident, whatever it might be, we're on top of it.
I would
we're
guarantee,
delivering the news.
Matt, I would guarantee we shelf it because we could come out 2 months before it ever comes out on big stories like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Before we do take a break, this 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk coaching versus players. What's good, bad, and ugly. We're going to talk about that because there's a little incident going on. We're going to talk about that. Also, can you play varsity JV on the same day? And
no.
What's the latest with Edison coaching? I keep hearing Corey Hall.
I've heard a lot of
negotiating. And what does that mean?
I don't know. I've heard a lot of variety of things. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future.
But my question is, if he is negotiating at Edison, what does that tell me? What is Vince Branstetter and Gordon Wood and Russ Pickett's and all them, Donnie Araks and all the other coaches in Fresno Unified going, what do you mean he's negotiating? Negotiating what? We didn't negotiate. Aren't they on the same little bubble in the Fresno Unified?
Not always. A lot obviously depends on the position you're going to have, your employment. I don't know how much negotiation like that goes on or not, but you have to understand whoever that person is in any of the coaching ranks. Well, you don't come in and say, hey, I'm going to be your basketball coach. Good. Well, good. But what am I going to do for a job outside of the stipend check or whatever you're going to get for that coaching deal? People are going to need jobs. There's going to have to be employment involved when you bring in coaches, especially the larger sports that, you know, you want to treat everyone, and they do equally. But in the larger sports, you have to go out of your way sometimes to bring in a Ricky Manning or a Tim McDonald or a Corey Hall type person. And to do that, you know, you're not going to go with the traditional base, for instance. You're not going to say, okay, well, we've got an English opening. Oh, you're a Spanish teacher? Okay, you like to coach football or baseball or whatever? Okay, then that's set up. Some of these deals to get the right person sometimes are a little bit more tricky than that.
So let's say, for example, Nick Saban just retires from Alabama. 10 years later,
yeah,
he moved to the Clovis area. He's going to coach one of the Clovis schools. I'll do it for $500,000. And they say, okay, isn't all the
you
other Clovis?
Get some backlash from the coach at Clovis North or Rich Hammond at Clovis. Like, well, he got what? What's his deal? That happens, no doubt.
We're going to come back and talk about a huge incident that's happening and going on right now in coaching, and we're going to talk about it when we come back. We'll tell you the full story. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rise for your Thursday on a beautiful Thursday. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J. We'll be right back on the Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's number one local sports leader.
Here comes Chazere, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all. Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
We are live. Welcome. I have to wait now. Matt has to give me the pointer finger before I come on the air anymore.
Well, I didn't give it to you, so you still were premature. Unbelievable. Unbelievable there's a cat like you running around these streets here in Fresno.
Cat in the streets.
Well, you got the big cat, Nick Anderson, yeah, and then you've got your cat status, which is the black cat.
The black cat. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J here. Rye Show Fashion Furniture. I don't know we got to double check with Rod, is the January clearance sale over? We're going to go to the February sales going on. We got to double check that. So that's always big.
That's typical
here.
News I like to get before the show begins. Don't want to.
Everything
the
is on sale.
On
closeout sales
modus
still going
operandi.
On. Yeah, we still got the sales going
on. By the way, have you got your chemical peel working? You look glowing. You look really good today. You've got a good.
Wow.
Are you pregnant?
I think he's.
I mean, look at you. Look how good you look.
I think he's got a. He's got.
No, are you losing weight or what's going on with you right now? Why are you looking so? Maybe a little sun on your face. You got a good look to you right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a crush on the Pag Meter, don't you?
You don't look like, you know, it's not the typical Mr. Toad look. Yeah. You're losing a little bit of your double chin. You got a good look going on right now. I'm impressed.
I hope my wife's listening to that because I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, maybe she is. I don't know. But
yeah.
You know. Maybe you got yourself something or something.
What are you giving Valentine's Day coming up? I know Bobby's taking care of Betsy. What are you taking care of Val? Because in our house, every day is Valentine's Day.
Well, I was just going to say, we don't do Valentine's Day. We think that's another one of the trumped up, you know, corporate holidays that is meaningless. That means that one day out of the year I'm supposed to show extra love. I show the love every day.
That's what I do.
Every day is Christmas and every day is Valentine's Day at my house.
I walk in the house every day with a bow on my head and say, I'm your gift.
Now my daughter, my daughter's always got a rose or a bouquet, but typically one solid red rose on the day she was born on this day. But my wife, yes, we'll go out to, we'll do something special, no doubt.
Oh, I like that. Well, we had a story this week that's finally reaching the news, and I want to talk because you're a coach, you're the perfect guy to talk with about coaching and players because you and I played back in the day. where I think coaches had their way with kids. Clovis West, water polo team, there's a big incident going on. Coach lost his temper, threw a dry eraser, cut the kid in the face. Now it's finally coming out.
Like
it happened
a dry erase pen? Or
I think it's a pen. I'm not sure, but it cut the skin. And all I'm saying is if it's come down to you're going to start throwing objects at players, hey, I am as old school as you're going to get. Believe me, I've had coaches do things, and we just – the way it was. But I think at this point in our time of our life and these kids going on, you can't be throwing objects at kids anymore. And for some reason, for it to come out now, when it happened in September, someone dropped the ball, and you can call the show 844-940-ESPN about coaching, how the new world of coaching, because you played at a high level, and now you coach high school. What's the world from the 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way to now? How is it coaching anymore?
Well, number one, it depends on how far back you want to go, but I don't think it was ever acceptable to throw anything at a player. One, let's make that very clear, because clearly we know Bobby Knight, who's the most volatile pack of TNT at any moment in basketball at Indiana, had some incidents, and they finally had enough. And that wasn't – how many years ago? I mean, Walter, that was probably 20 years ago when he
– At least 20.
Yeah, what am I saying? When he finally got caught, enough is enough. He kind of choked or put his hands on a player during practice. So I don't think it was ever really acceptable. The difference is, I think, from our day, if you will, and we're talking our day, I'm talking 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Number one, the parents weren't so crazy with these ideas that these coaches are lunatics. They trusted their coaches as mother or surrogate father type figures. So if you came home and as you would come home and tell your dad that you got pushed down by the coach because you were acting out or whatever happened, your dad would probably say, well, you probably learned your lesson then, didn't you? Today you go home and you complain about something a coach did, and the parent immediately, for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, goes the other way a lot of times and starts marching down to school to talk about what the heck's going on, which is fair. But throwing objects, cursing, putting hands on student-athletes in the world of high school, junior high, elementary school, whatever, even college for that matter, is completely off-limits.
Throwing chairs in the pool.
Completely off-limits. So I think the direct correlation between, let's using a Clovis West thing as an example, whatever's going on out there, I don't know all the details. But first you have to have an athletic director who's going to get word, or maybe the – I would imagine if I threw something at a student-athlete and it nicked them, cut them, blood was involved, you probably have to write a report. You have to document that, right? If that was done and then it goes into the next step, the athletic director, then the administration reviews, and then they probably have to talk to parents and review what's going on. If you have a parent who comes in and said, accident, I understand, as long as you know it won't happen again kind of thing, it usually goes bye-bye, or it has potential to go bye-bye. But if you've got a parent that comes in, imagine, if you will, your son, I have a son, I have a daughter, comes home from school. What do you, looks like you got a little, what happened at school today? My coach threw a pen at me and it stuck me in the chin here and I got a little blood.
What?
I mean, right away. Where's the keys, honey? Where do I find these people? But if you get to the point that happens and the parent has a problem with it, then you've got a can of worms on your tail and you have to figure out what you're going to do next.
Well, I think that coach
especially
does
one last
have...
thing, especially if there is documented, or somebody knows beyond any doubt, this isn't the first incident. Typically, when you throw something at a player, it's not the first time you decided to lose your mind. Because these kids, let's be honest, these kids, a lot of the kids today in the world of high school, they'll drive you crazy now. And if you have a tendency to react in that type of manner, that means you have a history. Then you have a real problem.
Well, I think there's no question. There's anger management issues going on. Clearly cut the chin with it. It was, you know, blood gashing. Okay, we got anger management issues. There is a court date in April on this.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. So there is going to be issues. What I'm trying to figure out is how in the world is she still coaching water polo after all this going on? Here's the other issue I have. The kid who came forward said, hey, you know what? My, you know, this is, it's not right. Who's a 4.0 kid?
Yeah.
Got a scholarship going to water polo. Is being bullied now for doing the right thing. Listen, I'm as old school as you're going to get, but this is all, this is totally going beyond and I totally do not understand how this could happen, throwing chairs and stuff in the pool. I've seen
– very interesting, because you know what the sad thing is in a lot of this case? Let's not use this case or let's just use a general broad brush against anything in the world of high school athletics, coaching-wise and player relations-wise. You typically have – different levels of coaches. Some are more loud, some are quiet, some are the leadership of everyone from men and women is so different. But when you have a coach that does something in this category, acts out, does something that's a little bit too much, you're always going to have, it's surprising. It's almost like I equate it to in the world of abuse to women or to kids. The man or the woman, they still come back for what? You didn't divorce immediately? You didn't leave? No, I still love him. You're going to have players, they're going to sit around and say, I love that coach, though, and you're wrong. Why'd you tell on our coach? Or, and then you get into the bullying thing you're talking, because you're always going to have, it's amazing to me, you can have the coach that you would think everyone would dislike because they're so loud, or they make us run gassers for the stupidest things. I don't understand it. There are kids that love that. They want that kind of leadership. Then you're going to have something like this happens. So those natural kids who like that brand of coaching, now they're going to rebel against this kid who's the whistleblower, if you will. And then that becomes, that's when it gets really ugly. You have to immediately stop, because you can't have some of the athletes bullying or looking down and making fun of a kid who reported something like this. Especially in high school.
Yeah, and this is one of the kids who was a star. Usually the stars love any kind of coach because I'm the star and the best player. I love it. The parents love him because I'm the star and I don't really care what he does. Yeah. That's how they are. Then you got the other kids like you're talking about, maybe not like it, but this is a different story. This is
now, because I really look at that, because if you had a case, another case that hits your desk, because the parents called me, people are reaching out to you. It's on ABC News. Yeah. It's Channel 30 and other channels now, so it's not like we're making this up. This is actually happening, which is, I'm glad Nick knew for a while, but he's held on to this deal before someone else took the liability of releasing this story. If you have a coach who everybody knows, there's witnesses everywhere, from parents to administrators, that is so unlike. That has never happened. I've witnessed many days of practice or whatever it might be, and that person is so gentle. How could this happen? Then maybe you can, let's get to the bottom of this, slap the coach on the wrist. Don't ever, come on now, you're better than that. But if you have any history, that's the thing that's going to come out, we're up to find out. If there's any history to this kind of mentality or nature of how you coach, to answer your original question, no room for it in this business today. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I know you and I grew up in a different time. I know that I've had coaches grab my face mask, punch me in the side of the head, shove me from behind, use their foot at not full speed but pretty good pace to kick me in my behind area to tell me to get it going at practice. Those things are done. Never could that ever happen again.
And if I think if a school hires a coach who had issues before, who got fired from a previous job, and they say, you know what, okay, you're going to come on, but we, you know, you've changed your life, let's go. And it happens again, you've got issues. That's why I have issues with
there it. There are, look, I'm in a in the one side, it's not my business, it's just what we do. And it, like, again, it's not about me, but I have an example because it is me. But I represent men and women all over whoever listens. So I need you, the listening audience, to know when I talk like this, it's not about me. I'm trying to relate and be a part of the coaching picture because that's what I do. So I hope that there's others that could recognize that when I speak, I'm speaking on behalf of a group of people. And when I say to you, typically in our business of coaching, there are some whacked out people out there. There are some coaches that still haven't quite got with today's game, that we have to kind of temper that kind of mentality. And I remember the school district superintendent of Fresno Unified would come to our practice every now and football, and he would come to me directly as the head coach let's say Edison. Yeah. Hey, look, you didn't say it, but you have other coaches on your staff. Their language, you got to clean them up. These kids have enough things on their plate when they go home at night. God knows what happens, what kind of language is used in the household, and what kind of pressure and stress they're under from their own parents or their community members. We don't need you as a coach to add to that pain. So he made it very clear to me that I don't want anybody getting verbally too much on these kids. But as a coach, there's another side that we know that sometimes to get everyone's attention, you've got to be a little nasty with the team you're coaching. But there has to be a level, and there's a fine line. Throwing an object at a player is too far.
It's amazing to me. You've got the extreme who's going on.
Although I
class.
Had a coach throw something at me once, clip me on the shin bone with a clipboard at full speed because he was angry. And that didn't work out very well for us in our future. But player on player, that's not right either because the kids are watching something like that happen. But player versus coach, coaches just have to take a deep breath and let it go.
I'm going to say what I said before. You rudely interrupted me, but no. But you've got the extreme, who you got a coach who's probably got some anger management issues. And then on the same campus, you've got Mr. Ken Shipley, who the Pagmeter All-Star Golf Team's coming out soon. Complete opposite. You can miss a putt and throw your club against a tree and what were you thinking at that moment? So we need to gather yourself up. Let's get going on the next tee and focus on what you're going to do. The coolest, calmest coach maybe ever.
Which clearly,
and Ken, that's why he's won like 13 straight
which
years.
Which clearly indicates, using Tim Simons, everyone's got their way. There is no proper way. You have to be yourself. Coach Shipley, great example. Coach Shipley, great success in the world of golf. Great success probably as a teacher, an educator. And I'm sure there are examples that are like Ken Shipley where the coach's style is a little bit more, hurry up, get it going. But once again, the fine line and throwing objects, temper tantrums, that is a transactional type coach that, in my opinion, we can't have. You have to continue to help transform lives. And now, we might find out at the end of all this, investigations come in that the teacher or the coach wasn't trying to throw it and hit anybody. Certainly they weren't trying to injure anyone by throwing their whatever they threw. And sometimes like that accidents happen. I go back to a good friend of mine who got into a deal, Bonner Cunnings, who was the great football coach at Madera High School. And he got caught for having a kid do something to him and just quickly instincts react as to get off of me, and then the backhand hits the kid in the face. Next thing you know, parents upset. Next thing you know, they're complaining, and he loses his coaching gig over drawing blood on the kid's lip for that action.
Was that a one-time deal?
He's still working. He's at McLean now, so it was a one-time deal. It was a knock-off one-time
this
deal.
This is not a one-time deal, though. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is like a 30-10
yeah,
deal.
But that was a one-time deal,
yeah.
And he lost his gig for a one-time deal.
So this is a 30-time deal, and he's still got his gig.
Thank you. That's what my point is. So I can't answer to what exactly the thinking
so
would
is
be.
It, so is it about commitment to winning or a commitment to excellence? Because I hear those two words are that those two phases,
yes.
phrases all the time. Now, I just got this in. Each student athlete is different, and coaches need to find what inspires and works with each kid. That's true. But no. In modern sports, no physical abuse, no verbal abuse, no bullying. Can't happen anymore. Just can't happen.
Cannot.
You got to figure out what you're dealing with as a player.
Cannot.
Right?
That's why I'm not so sure because I'm not close enough to the story. Clearly, from a coaching perspective, okay, I'm assuming the person in question is a teacher. Or at least
counselor.
Counselor. Okay. So counselor, student re-engagements.
844-940. ESPN, you can call Gonzo in the studio if you want to call in and chime in on this. 844-940-ESPN is our number. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So a teacher is a little bit harder at times. If you're tenured, you've been working a while, you just can't come in. Now, in this case, for instance, Clovis Unified doesn't have a union, but they still have employee rights, and there's always legal areas they have to be very careful in. Because you're dealing with a teacher or an administrator, a classified employee, whatever it might be. But as far as the coaching position, there's no contract guaranteed. Immediately, that coach should have been removed. If there's a history and other things are involved. If not, these are just alleged. I'm just saying, typically, if you have a history of these things and then something else just happened, the pen throwing or the dry erase thing goes, that's usually you're suspended without anything else to talk about. You're not coaching the team right now. If you're trying to tell me that this person is still coaching.
No, I just got a message that she is officially out of water polo at Clovis.
Oh, there you go. So they did exactly what they have to do. Number one is you got to get that person out of that situation, period.
Now it's the next step.
Whether they're going to teach again or not, that's up for the legal people, the school district and all that to figure out. Is this that far of a deal? What are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, there you go. So there it is, out of the coaching thing, because that's automatic.
Well,
I don't own my job. I don't own my coaching gig. That's just a thing that they can renew or change anytime they want.
So they took her out for a week, and now she's back in counseling, but I don't know if she's – of course, water polo season's over. We got a caller?
Yeah, I've got Rick, it sounds like. Eric.
Eric, welcome to the Rice Show.
How are you doing?
Great. Excellent.
Well, I'm driving. I just heard Matt talking, and – I think this is the first time I'm in agreement with Matt. No, but I think Matt's dead on what he's saying. And
wait, before you go on, this is the famous Eric Solberg, the soccer legendary coach at Fresno City, and of course, baseball pitching coach. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, you guys are always good, and your points are on. And I was joking about Matt when I said I agree with him for the first time. But it's a whole nother world, and you just can't do what was done to us. You can't, and I don't have any problem that was done to me. I'm sure you guys don't either. You know, we all Nick and I, we were both coached by Jerry Justice, and you know, Coach Noakes, legendary Bullard coaches, and it's just a different world, and you have to be sensitive. And I'll lose my mind a couple times a year, but I'm always make sure that when I do it, I'm addressing the team and not individuals. And I think that's, you know, one of the main things. And obviously, your relationship with the players, whether stuff comes out, but you know, if you have a disgruntled kid on your team, or more, maybe more important, a disgruntled parent. And the kid comes home and, you know, says something was thrown at me. You know, now you're dealing with a whole nother issue. I don't know anything about what happened. I haven't read anything or heard anything. But I just know for me, everything is different. You have to – your coaching is different. You're walking on eggshells at times. And you just have to be aware of what's your surroundings. You got to also be aware if your camera's on. We just did an hour highlight video of our soccer season, and the camera was on me on my closing speech before the state championship, and I had no idea somebody was recording it. You know, and it was fine. It showed my softer side, unfortunately, but you just never know when you're being recorded. I know there was a Division I baseball coach temporarily lost his jobs a few years ago because he started calling his players names. Well, one of the guys on the bus was recording. So it's just a different world we live in, and as a coach, you have to adjust.
So, Eric, we're talking with Eric Solberg, of course, the legendary coach of Fresno City. You're in a group meeting. Maybe the kid's not paying attention. You say, hey, look this way, and you got a baseball in your hand. You decide you're going to throw a baseball right at him, hit him in the chin, and cut his chin. Is that cool?
No. I think everything up into throwing the ball's cool, you know.
Yeah.
And he almost had you, Eric.
But you can't even say hey and then follow it with, you know, a couple bad words because you're addressing that one guy. Sure. I think, like I said, I think when you use improper language, which I'm not advocating it, but I'm not saying I've never said something wrong. I think. The key is that when you say something wrong, if you've said it to in a group format, we're talking about college as opposed to high school, you know, you're probably nothing's going to come of it because you address the entirety of the team. But when you start personalizing things and you start saying you know, the next word is never good. An umpire told me that one time. when you argue, if you say you or your, it doesn't matter what the next word is. You're out. You know, you're going to be gone. And so I kind of use that a little bit when I'm coaching. One of the great things that Noakes used to do that I remember with me anyway, I felt like he was on me quite a bit my senior year. But the one thing he always did is he always brought you back around somewhere later that day or the next day.
So true.
If he ripped you, he was going to revisit you in a very positive way the following day, or maybe later that practice. So I've taken that too. But as a group, it's tough these days to coach because everything's being watched or recorded. And, you know, at the end of the day, the student athletes know they have some power with all this.
That's the big thing is that they're not, these student athletes today, due to social media and everything else, know that they've got you pretty in a pretty good spot. If you really want to try to push it too far, coach, they know that they have the final say, which is, you're right. In college, it's different. I've been in both situations, but in high school, we ultimately, the student athlete, that's our customer. We work for them and more than anything else. So it's really tough. And I've had myself in some positions where I've made statements during a football game, something to the effect of, you know, this has got to, under my breath really to myself, but this has got to be the worst football team I've ever coached. And a kid looks at me like, coach, I heard that. And next thing you know, you got a parent talking to you about, really, this is how you talk to your kids? So you got to be very, very careful.
So I got an coaches, email coming in, Eric.
The coaches quit on us. The coaches quit on us. Yeah, all that stuff.
Exactly.
So for Matt and Eric, I got an email coming in. So they require coaches to go through training for these circumstances, for the mental aspect of dealing with kids and parents? And do they talk about that?
Yes, they do.
Is it just about common sense?
I don't know. For Eric, he's in the next big step up there in college, but high school, we have a mandatory classes. That's not just mandatory reporting when you think.
So how in the world does this not get rectified?
If I could expose that, why not? Eric knows. He's a coach. Come on.
Just
we go to those
winning.
Classes. Some of us are taking it in and taking it as gospel and trying to live our life. Some of us are old school coaches that probably look at it, and, I'm just doing this. It's routine, but I'm not really going to coach.
But if you're
way.
Winning, though, let's just let it go. They're winning over there. That's fine. If they're 10 wins and 10 losses, we got a problem.
Yeah.
Well, it's Eric, you're spot on.
The other thing at our level, what's happening too is, and it's really, it's actually watched very close in soccer, not as close as in baseball, not even near as close as in football, but we have a lot of language restrictions on our players. You know, you know the F word on the field and stuff is potentially an automatic ejection. So, you know, we're holding at the community college level, we're holding kids to a higher standard. So if we're holding the kids to a higher standard, it's hard to not hold yourself to a higher standard too. Because then, you know, how are you coaching if you're going to say it all the time or coach a certain way, and then you ask your players not to do that, it's tough to do. But the one thing that I'll say that Matt, I really thought hit on the head, because people ask me about winning and all those things, there's 1,000 ways to win. So as a coach, you got to be your own guy. You got to coach the way you are. We have multiple variety of coaches on our campus that win in various ways. I'm polar opposite of some of the people, but I don't win any more necessarily than someone else. So, but you do have to watch what you're doing. That is for sure. I'm different than I was even when I started. I've never been a real rah-rah yeller at people. Because it just doesn't work, and the reason why it doesn't work is because it's not my personality.
Yes.
Yeah, and you got to know your soldiers too. Some can take that, and some
can't.
Yeah,
I mean, if your guys, but if they know you're not that type of guy, then it comes across fake.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it, if you lose it a couple times during the course of the season, you know, not to the point of causing, you know, damages verbally or physically, but if you lose it a couple times during the year. In a huddle or whatever, you're going to have them captivated because they know where you're at. They know you are dead serious. So that's more my style, but my style isn't necessary, right?
Eric, way to go. Eric Solberg, thanks for calling in and do it again. We love that.
One last thing, I'll stay on that.
Sure.
I appreciate you guys taking my call. Every sport is different.
Yes, sir.
So I'm fortunate. I coach the two sports. I can approach my baseball guys, and I don't do a lot of it because Ron's the head guy, but I can approach the baseball guys completely different than the soccer guys. Different cultures, different backgrounds, different families.
Yeah, interesting. I agree 100%. I'm a track guy and a football guy, and the way I talk to the track group is different than the football group to a certain extent.
Matt, you said
all right, guys,
perfectly.
Good work.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Solberg, Fresno City. But you said it perfectly. These guys sometimes get it at home. Do they have to get it after school and they go home to it? Because every kid's every kid's different. We got another caller. Terry, welcome to The Rise.
Hey, thanks for taking me on, man.
You got it. What are you thinking?
I really like you guys' show. I listen to it pretty often, and I coached high school sports for 26 years. I started in 1993.
Good for you.
Last year was my last year after 26 years, and it was a ride. I can tell you, it was fun. I had a great time doing it. And developed a lot of relationships with young men and young women. I coached cross country and coached girls JV basketball, and I coached track and field. And I coached
you had
some
to
track
have
and
a lot
field.
Of patience.
I coached distance runners in track and field, and then later on I moved to high jump, triple jump, and long jump. The main thing I thought the caller that you had before me was right on point. With some of the stuff that he was saying, I had a policy in place that I don't use profanity in practice, and my athletes don't use profanity. They don't use profanity in practice. They don't use profanity in the games, and that was a practice that I had. In 26 years, I never laid hands on any athletes. I probably would have liked to a few times, but I didn't. Not because of fear of something happening to me. I was a walk-on coach, so the worst thing that they could do was tell me, you're no longer the coach of this team. I wasn't a teacher, so I didn't have to really worry about losing my job.
Yes.
But it was a lot of fun. And what's really crazy is the teams that I had, I was extreme disciplinarian, and the teams that I had, I still, to this day, have athletes that come back to my house and knock on my door and say, man, it was so much fun, running for you, or it's so much fun playing basketball for you, or competing for you. And it's just amazing. You don't have to, as a coach, you don't have to brutalize kids verbally or physically to get them to do the things that you want them to do.
That's right.
Respect, right?
Respect. And I used to tell them, if you coach for that long, you're going to go through times when your kids are going through hardships, maybe a parent dies or something happens to them and stuff like that. And I used to tell them, I say, you guys don't understand, when you hurt, I hurt. And our whole team hurts because our team suffers, because you're not at practice and stuff like that. And so I think that was a lot of my success was I was like, I kind of treated them like they were my own children. I did actually coach every single one of my children. I had two boys and two girls, coached all of them. And I tried to make it a policy with them also that when practice was over, practice was over. So when we went home, it wasn't like, okay, now it's time for me to talk to you the way that I want it. I want to talk to you and just say, okay, practice is over and that's it.
Well, let me just say this. First, thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving us such good insight. And more importantly, from our team here at The Rise, 940 ESPN, I want to congratulate you and thank you for the service. You obviously are a great coach, and the service you gave to the student-athletes is you're to be honored for that, and we thank you so much. That's a great call and a great insight.
No question about it.
Well, thanks a lot. I used to tell people that during basketball, because that's where I kind of like lost my mind most of the time was in basketball. And the caller before me was exactly right. You coach different teams. You coach them different.
Yes.
And so I stopped having meetings after the game was over, whether good or bad. I said, that's it. I give them the laundry bag to put their uniforms in so they could get washed up. And I say, we'll talk about it at practice tomorrow. Because on the days where we didn't play so well and stuff like that, I didn't want to go into the locker room after the game and stand before those girls and rip into them and tell them, you know, we practiced this stuff all week long. You guys missed 23 layups tonight. Nobody was boxing out on the boards. And, you know, you guys are setting all your screens at the wrong angles. And so I just said, forget it. I'm not going to do that anymore. So then by the next day, we'd all sit around at the center court for 10 minutes or so and go over what we had done great the game that night before and what we had not done so great. And go over those things, and I said, now we've got things to work on in practice, and so we'd work on those things that we needed to improve on.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for the call. We need more Terrys in the world. Thank you so much for the call. We need more Terrys. Keep listening. We love that.
We need to have more good athletes that listen to their coaches.
There you go.
Thank you, Terry.
That's a good call. All right. I think it's thanks. That's a topic that we need to talk more about because young coaches listen to this show. I get so many emails from coaches around. They need to hear stuff like this.
And this is why, and I wish Jim Critchlow was like still on the line.
He's listening.
Well, because Jim knows this is why organizations such as our central section, the CIF, Jim Critchlow specifically, offer these types of classes through the athletic departments, the athletic directors, for just coaching principles 101. My first class was coaching principles. And in that class, at 4 hours of teaching on a weekend, they give you these type scenarios. You have to work through this. And there's not one set rule, but the general guidelines, the general baseline of how you operate in these moments of stress and pain when you want to throw the chair at the kid, you have to operate under some version of a solid baseline, and they teach us that. So answer the one question you got in from email, do you go to classes for this? Yes. You have to be certified, not just in CPR and medical rescue techniques, but you have to be certified in the mind, the psyche, and the sport in general, what it can, the psychology of the sport.
And then maybe that's why I'm getting a lot of emails coming in. Is it tough to hire a young coach? You don't know about these young coaches. Maybe they haven't been there. Maybe we don't know the anger management issues. We don't know. But let's do take a break. We'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Also want to talk about, can you play JV varsity on the same day?
We have some questions. We want to talk about a little bit of your PAG meter all-star thing briefly and the kind of the scams I've put down for what you and I were talking about last time.
We'll be right back. 940 ESPN. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rice Show.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
This is your Rice Show. It's the PAG meter along with Matty J here at the, what does Matty call it? What do you call this? The Palace? Fashion
Furniture? The Palatial Palace we call Fashion Furniture.
There you go. There's nothing like it.
In all of California.
Yeah, it really isn't. It's true. People are here today looking
and
at the clothes.
If they don't have it,
you really don't need it.
You really don't.
Because they have it all. And the great salespeople here, you'll fall in love with them.
Yep.
Good people.
There's your scene right there.
Yeah, they'll measure your house. You come
couples
in.
Couples walking through the showroom, checking out the kitchen and the things. And
you want an 8-foot couch, but you have room for 6? They're going to help you out measuring.
Help you out.
Fashion Furniture, River Park, El Paso, Blackstone. We really don't have time to go over the PAG meter all-star football team. You can go
we
to
don't.
The.
I just wanted to make sure that you. I got a few calls from some real deserving. One candidate that didn't make your second team and honorable mention stuff, which is a super scintillating sophomore who I thought played a heck of a big
role.
Well,
if somebody didn't make it, Matt, you better blame your coach because I looked.
Well, they didn't
for
have
everything.
A coach at the time.
There you go.
And that's the Edison Tigers. I thought Miles Lee, the running back, the little sophomore, was pretty awesome.
That's
a lot
some
of,
information
lot of yards,
I want to know.
Touchdowns.
But we
did. I'm letting you know now.
We
so
did
don't
the best
screw
we
it up
could.
Ever again.
We did the best we could
okay,
for
that's
what
good.
I had to deal with. But
there
the
you go.
The PAG meter all central. Section all-star football team from Yosemite all the way to Bishop is out on thepagmeter.com.
So if someone was deserving and they're not on the list, you're saying you could make some adjustments?
I can always make an adjustment. You know why? the peg meter.
Okay, you are the peg
meter. Yeah, so we can talk about that.
Fair
tomorrow
enough.
We're also going to talk about we won't have time today because this is a big subject. Let me just throw it out there. I'll tease you for tomorrow. Cheerleading is now a sport in our section.
It is.
And we've decided we're going to have 38 different divisions, and everyone's going to win a trophy.
Should
we all have these Valley champions.
Is it governed by the CIF?
Yes.
It is.
It's governed by the CIF, okay. But we want everyone to win a trophy so everyone's won the Valley. There's some top division, then there's some bottom division, just like football.
Sure.
That's great.
Love
Give
it.
Everyone a trophy. But you cannot play varsity JV on the same day. And there's some team. There's one team in particular doing it. I'm not going to say names right now. We'll talk about it tomorrow. That they bring up the JVs to compete with the varsity. And the reason why they do that, they don't have numbers for a varsity. And if they say, well, if we're just going to leave you there all the time on the varsity, then the JV parents get mad because cheerleading is very expensive. Now, my wife is a 7-time national championship coach. She's by far the best around here when it comes to cheerleading, so I know what I'm talking about. And she tells me the good and the bad and ugly. But you cannot bring them because if you just bring these girls up to the varsity and then they're not playing JV, those people with all the money go, hey, we don't have enough girls to do our act.
Well,
so it's a cluster.
Well, yeah. So I know for fact, because I've asked this question before of my athletic directors and CIF director Jim Critzel, you cannot. If it is anything to do with the laws of the CIF, the California Interscholastic Federation, you are not allowed to play as the JV quarterback and then later that night when you're done with your game, go on the field and become the varsity's quarterback also.
Cannot do it. Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not necessarily in total agreement for the rule because I did it as a high schooler in Arizona and in the state of Oregon where I played freshman, JV, and varsity all in 2 days. But I do see some of the reasons why they don't do it. I agree.
Let's talk about some of the things.
My list?
Yeah, you got a list going.
I got a list. I've got about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me just start with the top.
Okay.
What you and I talked about are some of the biggest scams or injustices of all the country.
You're trying to help out the community.
I'm trying to help out the consumer.
Yes,
okay?
You are.
Because I've lived through every one of these scenarios I'm getting ready to tell you.
Yeah.
Number one. That stationary bike craze that's going on right now, the Peloton and all the different things. Okay, that's a wank. Because I don't know if it needs to be priced because of how much money goes into the development of this project, but if you're making a car payment on a stationary bike in your house, it might be a problem. And by the way, and you get it, and your wife or yourself personally gets on it for about 3 months, and then it sits and collects dust in the side next to your master
bed. You end up putting laundry on it.
You hang your laundry on it. It becomes a place for catch-all and different items. Totally agree.
Hey, before you go on, can we tell people at 7 o'clock tonight, you and I are going to be in Emmanuel. Hanford West Huskies versus the Emmanuel Eagles in high school boys basketball. We will have it on the air at 9:40.
I'm going to be happy to go there, but we'll be talking about this in our production meeting next week at the main office.
You want to get paid. I get that.
I
got nothing.
Led around.
Okay,
the,
go ahead.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I get it.
Number two, okay, something that you took part of. I still don't understand it. Sponsored by many great athletes, Brett Favre being one of them. This whole copper fit knee brace elbow thing that I tried out, it's got copper infused threads or whatever it is, supposed to heal you and make you feel better. Absolute crock of baloney. It's just a compression sleeve. The copper has nothing to do with, as far as I can tell.
I play old man baseball. I've tried them all, the ankles, the knees. They do not work. Go ahead.
Okay, it's not going to make my pain from my rotator cuff injury.
Zero chance. Yeah.
Okay, which goes right into a thing that I tried out. I'll be honest with you. You can tell all the stories you want, but someone at the fair many years ago was selling me on this idea. They lifted my arm up, and they could hold it.
You can only go so far, yeah.
Yeah, I had no strength left, nothing. And then they said, okay, now let me put this on your wrist. It was like a magnetic wrist bracelet thing. Now try it. And I was like, wow, I've got like total motion. And I bought into it and took it home. And for about a week or so, I was bragging to you about, I don't feel my low back and my knee. I think it's all,
Let me tell everyone a story. You did it on a Friday. I'll never forget. We're at the World Sports Cafe, and you go, I'm feeling pretty good. Matt calls me Saturday morning. You remember that back injury I had? It's gone. I just mowed the lawn, and I'm working in the backyard. It's gone because of my wrist deal. And then we find out it's all been a scam.
Hey, it's just apparently I thought that the magnets would attract, certain blood cells, you know, the iron in your blood, and it would help draw blood from the injury. Whatever they explained to me at the fairgrounds, total disaster, fake. It's that, all in the money.
That's where you should have known right then. They're selling it at the fair.
Okay, here's one that's really, really close to you. Okay, and I by no means, because we might be getting sponsorship or something for the station on one of these companies. So no names, but generally speaking, the gym membership. I've got memberships all over this valley, and I'm looking at my wife the other night thinking, when are we going to go back to the gym? I'm paying a monthly fee to two places that you said you had to be a part of. When was the last time you went off to the gym? And we got in a big argument over this. I go, you know what? No more gym memberships. Because that segues into my second part.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go to that part,
yes,
I'm looking at you now. You might want to work in a gym membership.
Kate, that's a nice, funny thing to say, but you know it's not truthful because I work out at Madera South with
my
boys.
I've seen you in there. You sit in your chair a lot.
Okay.
You're fired by your little refrigerator at Madera South.
Well, part of what you're saying is right because it does segue into what I want to say about the gym membership. Okay. So you say, you know what? So some guy on late night TV convinces you, why you spend all that money in a gym membership? You can buy the equipment you need and bring it home with you. Have a home gym. Years ago, I built a home gym. Another thing to hang your clothes on. No one gets on the bench press in my garage anymore. No one's using the little dumbbells I've got all over the house. They're basically door stops.
You know why that happens?
No one's using that stuff.
If you did have a home gym and you're starting to do some bench pressing, all you hear, honey, come in here. You go in the other room and you forget. You go, I'll do it tomorrow. And you end up eating. Home gyms don't work. You got
to
go at least to the gym.
Yeah, you're trying to do the 300-pound bench press at home alone. And I
should
make fun of this. No, because one of my neighbor friends, when I first moved to this town, they found him in his garage with the bar across his neck. Some say suicide, but some say maybe it slipped while he was doing his heavy bench pressing. Either way, not a safe practice.
No, that's
number five.
Thanks for bringing us down, Matt. Way to go.
Number five.
Yeah.
Any ad on late night TV, I don't care if it's the MyPillow system, the Thigh Buster, whatever it is, when it finally does arrive at your house, it's packed with a little bit of the foamy little things in there, and it's the most poorly constructed pile of crap you're ever going to see. On TV, it almost looks like it's built with titanium and high-grade aircraft aluminum, and you get it to your house, it's cheap plastic crap, okay? One thing I liked about the Thigh Buster was Suzanne Summers as a young boy. I kind of like watching that commercial late at night.
That's what you're going with?
That's pretty much what I'm going with, okay? One more. Can't get off of this one because this is something you're currently using. You've been bragging about for the last week. I'm going to track this for next week's show. That Miracle Cream stuff that you bought that you said would help your hip pain go away, knee pain and all that
I got to tell you, I saw a commercial, the Australian cream. Have you seen the kangaroos? They are very active. I want to be like a kangaroo.
Sure.
So I'll let you know in a couple weeks.
I'll let you know in a couple weeks how that's really working for you.
Because right now I run a 31 flat 40. I want to get down to 27 flat 40, so I'm going to see if it works. Hey, I want to thank Gonzo back in the studio. Bobby Boy, great job. Jim Critchlow, our CIF commissioner, chiming in today. Have a great afternoon. Tony D coming up next. Get you ready for Bulldog basketball. As we're still going, the women are on fire right now, and they're going to be playing San Jose State soon for the championship. That'll be happening. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN. And tonight at what? Before we go, it's 7 o'clock tonight. The Emmanuel Eagles hosting the Hanford West Huskies. We'll have the action on 940 ESPN. See ya, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.